This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn and Shaoning. Now, according to Pakatan Harapan Chief Secretary Dato' Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail, discussion on the coalition's prime minister candidate is still ongoing, despite the self-imposed deadline of yesterday evening to decide. Saifuddin said that an official statement will be published as soon as the parties make their decision.
It seems that weeks after hinting that they had the numbers to mount a counter-coup on PN, momentum appears to be halted by a stalemate over who should be the opposition's bloc's PM candidate.
I like that, a counter coup. So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute and a frequent commentator on Malaysian politics. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Bridget. Now, the tussle between Tun Mahathir and Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim for the PM post is a never-ending story at this point. Why is it so hard for Pakatan Harapan to resolve their leadership issue?
Good morning. Well, I think we can see that there are very entrenched positions. So there's positions that are along the continuum, people who talk about pragmatism, let's get the numbers, we need the numbers together, or others who sort of focus on issues of principles. But behind that, it is also about personality and power. What's happened in the last week is that there has been actually, I would say, a hardening of position. While conversations continue, there's been a moving of the goalposts away. And this has really reduced the space for compromise. And this has increased frustration among the different parties involved. It's clear that Anwar Ibrahim doesn't have the numbers, but he's holding to wanting to become PM number 9. And it's clear that some of the plus numbers and are focused on Mahathir, and Mahathir has neither position is actually moving, and I think that in fact Mahathir has more of the support of people within Pakatan Harapan, but Anwar is holding out. And this has been a very serious process we can see really a breakdown of a lot of frustration and breakdown of trust within Harapan itself. I think it's also the public, as you know, has been held hostage to this kind of what is seen as this intractable positioning between two men who were not able to reach some sort of compromise.
Yeah, Bridget, because, you know, Pakatan Harapan won GE14 with Tun Mahathir at the helm, and given his long-standing political base. Now, just hypothetically, can Pakatan carry the same influence without Dr. Mahathir?
Well, I think I think that it will be challenging. Look, the fact of the matter is that there are lots of steps involved here, right? He needs to get the numbers. They need to be able to reach a leadership compromise. They need to be able to get more numbers in order to convince other players in the process to actually allow them to form government. Even if they have the numbers, there's no guarantee that they can form government. And it's really also a question about how many numbers they have. They need to be well over 120, 125 to show that there's some stability. And the fact that these negotiations continue really sort of send the message that they have not resolved their differences. And, of course, this creates a negative impression for Pakatan Harapan among the public. And, of course, both men, Mahathir and Anwar, have been damaged in this process.
Now, speaking of the public, I mean, I think there is a lot of fatigue amongst the electorate over the Mahathir-Anwar rivalry, with constant calls for new faces or a younger generation of politicians to come forward. Are there any alternative options to the Anwar-Mahathir dichotomy?
Well, it's a good question. I think that, as you know, this morning tweeting on BFM, the number one position is for an alternative. And I think this is increasingly becoming more salient. And I think because both men seem to not be able to make the compromises. But I think that the person that is being tweeted and discussed and presented by parties that are looking for alternatives is the Chief Minister of Sabah, Shafi Abdal. And they're looking towards East Malaysia as an alternative. But whether or not that is viable or whether or not that adds more problems to the mix, I think is actually remains unset. I think that my sense is that Anwar Ibrahim's camp will probably not find that acceptable. And I think in some ways they will also probably not fail to realize is that there is a lot of breakdown of trust within Pakatan Harapan when people start to publicly present alternatives that actually really, that Anwar Ibrahim's camp cannot take its partners for granted in this process.
So where do you stand on the poll, Bridget, that we're running? So who do you think should be the PM candidate for Pakatan Harapan?
It's not my place to say. I think that that Pakatan Harapan needs to resolve that within themselves. And I think that they need to offer a candidate to the public in order for them to move forward. I think, you know, this is not just about whether or not they form government, but also how they, would govern, and also, importantly, how they would present themselves if an elections are called. And I think, you know, one has to keep in mind that that the chances of an election being called are have been increasing and continue to increase as things are moving forward. So I think that ultimately the public will have potentially a choices to make about these two this process.
Yeah, Bridget, which goes back to the question, which is the better option for them? Do they go forward with snap elections or actually push for a motion of no confidence in parliament then?
My sense is that for Pakatan Harapan, the choice that is more favorable to them is to try to get the numbers and reach some sort of solution. And that's where there's been such a pressure and push for that particular initiative, in part because the election situation for Pakatan Harapan, based on previous voting patterns and some of the polling data, really suggests that they would have face serious losses in an election. We're looking at potentially at least a third of the seats that will they would lose. Especially in the Malay-dominant areas, but also in areas that have close margins in, such as say a seat, for example, where PKR's Vice President Chang Li Kang is located, Tanjung Malim in Perak. That seat will be gone, and I think the parties that will be most affected by this, of course, are Amana as well as PKR. I think there'll be a lot of loss of seats in this area. But I also point out that, you know, the mood is changing. You can feel that there's a real palpable anger among the electorate at some of the decisions that have happened within PN and some of the appointees that are made. There's also the economic situation. So there is some fluidity within the society itself. But many people we feel frustrated with all the alternatives. And I think that Pakatan Harapan's solution to its leadership problem has to come not just about forming government, but presenting to the electorate a viable alternative. It affects their election prospects as well.
So, Bridget, you've kind of referenced what you think might happen if a snap election were to be called. But say we don't see polls and instead run-ups, the next polls we see is the general election, GE15. Based on the current trajectory of Malaysian politics, what kind of an outcome might you expect come GE15?
Well, GE15 is going to be the next election. So snap polls or not smalls, they're still going to be GE15. So I think that the fact of the matter is a question of timing. Keep in mind that there are also problems within the PN alliances, and that is there are issues associated with Bersatu's involvement, whether or not it will be able to run on it will be part of Mafakat Nasional. I think we've seen steps by the Islamist Party to try to bring in Bersatu. And of course, open contesting and commentary between Bersatu and UMNO. I think that, you know, we have to recognize that the Malay community vote and the Malay party vote, is most fragmented it's been in history, and it remains very fragmented. And of course, this adds a lot of uncertainty in this process. But of course, this uncertainty affects the economy, it affects the issues of manage of governance, and I think there's a lot of frustration among a lot of the electorate that the country is being held hostage to these politicking across all the different political camps.
And Bridget, what do you make of Asmin Ali reportedly looking to register a new political party?
Well, Asmin Ali needs his own vehicle in the sense that it goes back to these issues of an alliances between Bersatu and UMNO and PAS. I think Asmin Ali is not seen as being as acceptable as being part of the alliance, and so some of his members as well. And while he has played a really important role in terms of bringing about the power grab along with Hamza Zainuddin, what we see is that he himself is not comfortable, or others within the alliance are not comfortable with giving him a position. And so this is where the issue of his own party has continued to come up. But I, like all of these other issues, the focus is being negotiated. And keep in mind, the negotiations among all these party elites are happening across the political divide.
And very quickly, Bridget, since we're running out of time, do you think a political party helmed by Azmin Ali will be able to gain traction with the broader Malaysian public, or will he just serve to further fracture the vote?
Depends on how the party is able to fit within the alliance and whether or not he's able to actually run uncontested or have to face three-corner fights. But I think Azmin, as his party, would have real problems and challenges. It would still depend on the other players in order for him to have any electoral viability, or the parties to have electoral viability.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute, giving us a little bit of insight into the quagmire that is local politics at this point. If we take a look at the poll that we've been running on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, we asked who should be the PM candidate for Pakatan Harapan. 411 votes, only 9% voted for Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, 45% said Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, 46% now, actually, as the polls just changed right as I'm looking at it, while 45% said a fresh face. So it does feed back into that the question we asked Bridget about the fatigue over this fight between Anwar and Mahathir. There have been a lot of suggestions mooted in the comments, including names like Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, including names of younger politicians as well, Nurul Iza, Hannah Yeo. I think Ong Kian Ming has also made an appearance, or Anthony Loke. So it just goes to show that it's going to be an interesting time, really, in Malaysian politics as we move towards GE15.
Whenever that GE15 is. I mean, whether it's going to be happening at year end, which some people speculate, or in 2 years' time, it's all called GE15, right? Yeah, I think in a way what Bridget also brings home is the fact that the country is still facing real issues, some of which are, you know, related to COVID-19 and the destruction it has caused to the economy. I think that's a bigger concern. And yeah, as long as, in a way, ironically, the longer you take, the more frustration might build in terms of your livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know, things, the rice bowl, those are the things that really people are worried about. So I think both parties, both factions have to address this very important issue.
Absolutely. And all eyes are going to be on Pakatan Harapan until they announce a prime minister candidate. But right now we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up for you. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Khanesan takes on a panel speaking with Dato' Norman Abdul Halim, deputy chairman of FINAS, as well as Izan Satrina, CEO of Cendana. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.